One of the most powerful earthquakes ever recorded has triggered tsunami waves of up to 5 metres and sparked evacuation orders in a host of countries. The quake, which measured 8.8 on the Richter scale, was centred in Russia's far east, where it damaged buildings and injured several people. Tsunami waves were witnessed in Hawaii and on the west coasts of the United States and Canada. In Japan, almost 2 million people have been urged to evacuate their homes and move to higher ground. Journalist Justin Randall is in East Hokkaido, and he's been telling me about what he witnessed there.
So today I traveled through several different towns in East Hokkaido, namely Akeshi and another smaller town called Kiritapu. And I went to go check in on the emergency shelters. East Hokkaido is incredibly popular for sightseeing. And currently, a lot of the road stations are called Japanese Michi no Eki. All of the parking lots are filled up with lots of travelers, as well as local residents seeking shelter on the higher grounds. The city hall has several different emergency shelters set up. And at each one of those, there's been about 160 people in the shelter in Kiritapu, with a couple dozen here in Akeshi. And mostly people are just waiting it out, seeing if the tsunami is going to bring in more waves that are increased magnitude.
And as of now, then, what's the situation? I mean, obviously, a number of hours ago, there were concerns that this could be very serious. Are people a little less worried than they were then?
Yeah, totally correct. So originally, the earthquake in Russia registered about 8.8, and that is rivals the 2011 mega earthquake in eastern Japan. So people were very concerned at the very beginning. Now I think people are getting a little tired. It's a bit of a waiting game. People are just waiting for the final say from the government that the tsunami warning is going to be downgraded to an advisory, or it's been completely called off. They expect that to come within the next half day or a day from now.
But in the meantime, people will just have to stay put.
Correct. So they're asking for people to remain in shelters or to go and seek shelters, stay away from rivers, stay away from large bodies of water, the coastline. They've shut down a lot of the train services for East Hokkaido. The largest English teaching program in Japan, called the JET program, currently had a new batch of English teachers arrive, and they're currently stranded on the far side of the island with the closure of all the railways in East Hokkaido.
Journalist Justin Randall. The tsunami warning for Hawaii was downgraded to an advisory approximately an hour and a half ago. Stephen Logan, Adjutant General of the State of Hawaii, explained that there was still reason to take care.
Okay, the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center has downgraded the forecast from a tsunami warning to a tsunami advisory. The PTWC continues to monitor for more data to update its forecast and for an all clear that they may issue later on. A tsunami advisory means that the potential for strong currents or dangerous waves are expected or occurring for those in or near the water. There may be flooding of beach or harbor areas. Those who have evacuated may safely return home, based on county assessments and directives.
Well, we can talk now to Professor Chris Bean. He's head of geophysics at the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. Will you tell us about this earthquake? Where was its epicentre and how powerful was it?
Hello, Rachel. Yeah, so this quake was in Kamchatka, which is in eastern Russia. And it was a magnitude 8.8 earthquake. To put it in perspective, it is the sixth biggest earthquake ever recorded since modern instrumentation. And I say modern, I mean all the way back to the early 1900s. So say in the last 120 years, this is the sixth biggest earthquake in the region. And the setting for it is one of these what are called subduction zone areas. This is where we have two tectonic plates that are coming together. And one is what's called subducting, or dipping down or being pushed down underneath the other. So we have the Pacific plate moving to the west and getting pushed underneath the peninsula at Kamchatka. And so on that plate surface, you know, they stick, they don't slide nice and smoothly with time. They get stuck, and this patch, and then they can fail in patches. This patch has been stuck for many hundreds of years. But it just unlocked there yesterday or today or last night, and a patch which was about 700 kilometers long along the fault zone and about 220 kilometers deep as you go into the earth, slipped or kind of unzipped, if you like. So it's a very, very large area, 700 kilometers by 220 kilometers that slipped at about 20 kilometers depth, the highest part of that. So it ruptured for over about 3 minutes. So it's a big event, and the rupture is actually traveling at about 4,000 meters per second or 4 kilometers per second. So it's a very significant earthquake on a world stage.
Are there ever any indications that something like this is about to happen, or do such quakes just occur out of the blue?
Well, they don't really occur completely out of the blue. I mean, we know all the hazardous regions in the world, mm-hmm. and this is known as a region where big earthquakes can occur. In fact, this is the fifth biggest earthquake in the world, actually occurred in the same region in 1952. It was actually the neighboring patch on the same big fault structure that ruptured. So this is known to be a very seismogenic or seismically active area. The difficulty is saying exactly when a given earthquake is going to go, because we can't measure all the stress or pressure on the faults, exactly how strong they are. We can't measure that at the scale of a few meters, which is what we would need to do to be able to say, oh, this is about to break. It's like the straw that breaks the camel's back. It's this tiny extra load or extra pressure is enough to trigger the thing, because it's kind of unstable. It's an unstable, unpredictable system. It's very sensitive to small inputs or small perturbations. So we can't say exactly when this particular event is going to go, but we do know that in general, this area will experience earthquakes of this size every few decades or every 100 years or a couple of 100 years. So if one is building infrastructure in these types of regions, then you know that infrastructure needs to be able to withstand very large earthquakes. That's the approach, rather than trying to predict the timing of individual events.
Mm-hmm. Turning to what happened subsequently, has there been a considerable improvement in early warning systems since 2004, when we'll remember that, what was it, almost 250,000 people were killed following the tsunami there?
Yeah, that was a 2004 tsunami in Sumatra. That was an absolute tragedy. So what happened there was that tsunami was generated by a large earthquake, which was just offshore in Sumatra to the west. And then it took a half an hour. The tsunami went in both directions. So it took a half an hour to go to the Sumatran coast, caught people totally unawares. But the bit that was, in a way, that's very hard to deal with, quite honestly, but the bit that was a total failure, if we like, is the way that, you know, the people actually were killed in Africa, in East Africa, 10 hours later. Mm-hmm. So that tsunami propagated across the Indian Ocean and killed people that on the east coast of Africa that could have had a lot of warning. So in a way, that was a kind of a failure of a communication system in terms of tsunami warning. The Pacific Ocean has a very strong tsunami warning system. It's about knowing when the tsunami is in the water, and that can be measured with buoys, or buoys as they call them, and also communicating that properly to all the countries around the whole region. And that's what failed in the Indian Ocean at that time. The system has improved radically since 2004, but at that time, that very strong communication infrastructure was not in place. And unfortunately, people died many, many hours after they could have been warned about the event.
Professor Chris Bean, thank you very much for talking to us on the News at One.